Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station where we help those with ADHD pay attention to attention. With your host, ADHD and attention coach, Jeff Topper.
Good night, everybody. Welcome to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, ADHD and attention coach, Jeff Copper. We got a great topic tonight, ADHD, when the passion is lost. And with us in our virtual studio is Michelle Toner from Down Under. I'm really excited about this. We love to do international shows, and Michelle is from Australia. She's an ADHD coach down there. We're very excited to have her on the show. I was thrilled. I've known Michelle for forever, but I finally got to meet her a couple months ago in Reston, Virginia, at the ADHD Coaches Professionals Conference. It was absolute thrill. Before we get into the tonight's show, real quickly, tonight is Wednesday, July the 5th in the year 2017 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Some announcements. Tonight's show is being brought to you by CHAD, that's Children and Adults with Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder. They've been a longtime supporter, and we are very dear friends of them. Real quickly, their conference is coming up this November, as it always does. I'll be there again, as I always am. It's from November the 9th through the 11th in Atlanta, Georgia. You can learn more about the conference by going to chadd.org. We are very proud of our content on Attention Talk Radio, but I have to tell you, it's not as good as the CHAD conference, mostly because you get to meet people like Michelle in the hallway and the speakers and other people with ADHD, and you get to talk to them. And I told this story before. I saw Dr. Barkley give a presentation on sluggish cognitive tempo, and I wanted to speak with him, and I waited 90 minutes, he said, after his presentation, answering all the questions of everybody that was there, very patient, and you can't get that anywhere else. So you got to go check that out. So let's get into tonight's show. But before we do, real quick, Chad's got a quick tip to run for you, kind of promoting their conference and stuff a little bit. When we get back, we'll get started. So here we go.
Are you struggling with managing ADHD, your own or your child's? Connect and recharge at the annual International Conference on ADHD with Chad and Ada. For more information, go to helpforadhd.org. That's H-E-L-P, the number 4, ADHD.org.
Welcome back. Here we go, everybody. Real quickly, we have in our virtual studio Dr. Michelle Toner. She's an ADHD coach with a PhD and a Master's of Special Education in the area of ADHD. She holds credentials as an Associate Certified Coach, Professional Certified Coach, and Professional Certified ADHD Coach. Her master's thesis, entitled Adults with ADHD Living in Chaos and Surviving for Control, explored the lives of adults with ADHD who were undiagnosed as children. Her PhD thesis investigated the experiences of university students diagnosed with ADHD, identifying strategies to help them as they went through various stages of development. She's the president of a Learning and Attention Disorders Society, that's LADS, L-A-D-S, which is Australia's leading support group for people with ADHD, and was instrumental in the formation of a new national consumer group, ADHD Australia. She's also a speaker at conferences and public functions. Her website is Michelle Toner. Now, everybody, it's one L, not two. That's michelletoner.com. With that, Michelle, welcome to the show.
Hello, Jeff. Thanks for having me. I'm so excited to be here today.
I'm thrilled that you're here. I've heard, you know, it's interesting to me because when it comes to ADHD coaching, now that you're the thing over in Australia, I've heard people talk to you at conferences, and I've heard other people reference you. And there's actually a couple friends of mine over there that are real big fans of yours. So we're just honored to have you on the show. And you know, Michelle, this is an interesting topic tonight. We know those with ADHD can be very, very passionate. As I've learned over the years, ADHD is not so much a deficit of attention, but a self-regulation issue. And those with ADHD who are passionate about something, it's interesting. It's like a drug. Their issue's not paying attention to it, actually stopping. I mean, they can just be all in. And you and I were having a conversation when you're over in the States about when that kind of passion runs out. It was fascinating to me. So I just want to start with, at kind of a high level, and say, how did you first start to kind of like notice and kind of work with those ADHD when all of a sudden they were all kind of fired up and the passion just kind of like they just lost it?
Well, pardon me, Jeff, it started with the extreme example. So I did some work with, you know, dancers who are dancing at elite level, making dancing their career, and athletes, you know, training at an elite level, and then their career, you know, ended. So that was devastating for them on many levels. And then I started listening out for people and their passions. You know, somebody wanted to join the army. In Australia, you can't join the armed forces if you take stimulant medication. So having to tell someone that news and helping, you know, work through that was devastating. Yep. And so I sort of came to realize that it's great to have a passion, but I get it, we've got to handle it carefully. We've got to make sure that that passion isn't the only thing in that in their lives and it doesn't identify them.
Wait, I'm kind of curious. When you say passion, what's passion mean to you? Like, what is the definition of passion, or how can you like understand that that's what a person's drive is?
Yes, I suppose in the context of the talk today, it's something that they identify, that they love to do, that they fired up, and it comes to them with ease. You know, dancers will say, you know, when I'm on the stage, I'm home. When I'm there, it, you know, it's effortless. I feel alive.
Yep.
I feel as if I come to life. And so they will dedicate hours and days to it. They'll put their health at risk and do things that their bodies weren't meant to do, really, to pursue that. Because when they're doing it, they feel alive and they feel whole. It's something that is easy for them, even though it takes so much hard work, I guess.
It's, you know, it's interesting, Michelle, over the years, we've interviewed a lot of experts. And when I first interviewed Dr. Barkley about 6 years about ADHD as a self-regulation issue, many years later after that, I interviewed Dr. Kenneth Bloom about dopamine. And I was talking to him about it a little bit. And just when he came on the show, I said, Dr. Bloom, are we addicted to dopamine or are we addicted to drugs? He said, actually, that's a really good question because we're actually addicted to dopamine. The drugs that we take that you can get addicted to actually increase the release of dopamine. And as I've studied it, it's become really interesting to simplify ADHD as kind of an oversimplified dopamine addiction. And if you're getting the juice on something that you focus on it. And I know in my own coaching, there's the negative things like maybe nicotine, alcohol, cocaine that a person can get. But there's these other things in the world that they seem to get that boost. And for me, very much a passion is that thing that maybe it's dancing or athletics or pilots or, you know, different types of people, for whatever reason, they get this rush when they're doing something. And to me, I always kind of look at a passion. It's that thing that you can't not pay attention to, like an addict, they can't not take, they can't not smoke or they cannot do that stuff. And so it's, again, it's this thing that they're passionate, they're kind of drawn to. And sometimes I find that they can't stop it. In your experience coaching, do you see that sometimes where somebody with ADHD has got such a passion that they literally can't stop and sometimes go home, life, family balance problems because they're so into it?
Oh, absolutely. You know, that hyper-focus kicks in and it feels so good. They're in flow when they're doing it. And dare I say, Jeff, it might not even be doing it. For some people, it's the dream they're pursuing. For someone who's decided he wants to be a fighter pilot, you know, actually reading about it and dreaming about it and, you know, and dreaming of the day they're going to become that person, you know, is a bit of a high as well. And you're absolutely right. When it becomes the only thing they focus on, it can cause problems in their life because there's no room for anything else.
And they get sucked in on that. Like as you said, when it becomes the only thing, it becomes a little bit difficult. But I can see how for some of them it's easy because they get in that dream and they get hyper-focused and they go at that to the exclusion of other things, which, you know, what's that say? I can't even remember. There's a not all work and no play, but you know, there's got to be balance in life for this to happen. And if they're not mindful of that, they can slip into that trap. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. And I think, but you can see why people with ADHD would develop a passion and go in a direction because if you take young people with ADHD, for example, in the school playground or in the classroom, they might not be good at school, but they might be absolutely fantastic at something else. So that island of excellence that they have is the only time where they feel they're doing any good. And if they join a sports club, that's the only time they're accepted by their peers sometimes. So they have
yep.
a community and they have a place to feel good about themselves because it's something that they can do well. So they strive, they want to fit in, they want to belong, and they often don't in the normal world, not normal, I hate that world, the average world, which can be quite hostile and unforgiving of people who are just slightly different.
You know, it's interesting because my own personal experience as a swimmer going through high school and college, I mean, that was – I did not perform very well in school. In fact, as I describe people, had I not been a scholarship athlete, I probably wouldn't even been able to get into school because they've been some stuff. But it was that one area that I was passionate about, that I was able to do, that I was good at, and it gave me some self-esteem. It gave me some confidence. And I have to tell you, it scares me to think back if I didn't have that in my life because it was very important to me at that point in time. But I was also a one-trick pony at the time because if something would have happened, it would have been very, very detrimental. Tell you what, let's go to a break real quickly, and we come back. We'll just kind of come pick up where we are. Everyone, to learn more about Michelle, go to her website at Michelle Toner, but understand it's only one L. That's MichelleToner.com. We'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an EDGE Foundation coach, specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function challenge make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more or call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE to get your free college success guide.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Managing ADHD is about pausing before you ponder and proceed. This opportunity to practice pausing is being brought to you by digcoaching.com. The Attention Talk Network has over 450 interviews and more than 210 hours of programming, which is overwhelming if you think about it. That's why I've made my list top 10 favorite Attention Talk radio interviews. Download the list at www.digcoaching.com/ATR.
And now back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody. We're here with Michelle Toner from Down Under. Yes, it is Wednesday, July the 5th. In the States at 8 o'clock. And Michelle, it's 8 o'clock in the morning on Thursday down there, right?
It certainly is. It certainly is. And Jeff,
yep.
I was having a little laugh as you were describing your swimming exploits. The closest thing I've got to an Olympic sport would be talking, but they never had that in the Olympics. and I think if I lost my voice, I'd be devastated. Though I think my husband says a little prayer every night that it might happen one day.
That's funny. It is kind of fascinating. Like, you get used to some things. So, you know, Michelle, when a person's got a passion, they're kind of going along. Are there any markers that you see that kind of that are barriers? Like, certainly a debilitating injury can create a problem. What are other types of things, or are there any things that you see that kind of prompt that this like cliff where you struggle?
Yeah. And I think it's important to look at those, and then I've got some ideas about what you can do to prevent that.
Yep.
And so there are some markers, and once again, if you look at elite athletes, one of those is debilitating injury, and certainly that happens with dancers and athletes and singers, you know, voice artists, they lose their voices and they damage their vocal cords. So one of those is that injury, and dancers, there are quotes by dancers, one said, never being able to use my body again felt like a kind of death. And Martha
yeah.
Graham was quoted as saying that dancers die twice, and the first time is when they stop dancing, and that is the more painful death. So there is that. It's cruelly taken away from them. It was out of their control,
And that is devastating. People feel as if they don't fit in. But then what is actually even more cruel, really, is when that passion really literally dies. And in Australia, we have our tennis players, we don't feel very
yep.
proud of the way they behave in public sometimes. And one of them is currently saying Wimbledon, well, I'm bored with tennis, so I'm dragging
yep.
myself around the court. So, you know, when that happens, they suddenly lose a whole lot. Then there's a third thing also, when it's just not, they're never allowed to actually enter the realm of that passion that they've dreamed of all their lives. They want to become a doctor, but they don't make the grades. All their lives they've dreamed of becoming, as I say, joining the army, but they can't because they've got a diagnosis of something that won't let them in. And that's not necessarily ADHD because there is a way around that. So there are all those things. And then if you look at, you know, I was looking at the research of elite athletes and dancers who suddenly have to stop doing what they're doing. And I think that really paints a picture of someone with ADHD losing their passion. They lose routine. They lose their community. They lose their identity. They lose their sense of self. And they really don't know who they are and where they belong. And that's quite a dangerous time, particularly when you have ADHD.
Well, you know, you did such a spectacular job articulating that. I mean, it's interesting to me. I'll share my own personal story, which is interesting because after swimming for 11 years, I went all the way through. I went to Olympic trials in 1980, and in 84, I was at U.S. Olympic trials, and I was going. I was really kind of gearing up, and at that point in time in my life, I began to realize I was good. I just didn't quite have the genetics. And I was lucky because I had, for some reason, done enough to know that I was going to be able to graduate and focus on academics. But I have to tell you, it was interesting to me because I found a little bit of solace when I was – my goal at Olympic trials was to actually make the finals, knowing that I wouldn't actually qualify, but I wanted to be the guy that was pushing those guys to do it. It was a very small thing for me, but I was about ready to come up. I'd spent my entire life doing that, but I was – at that time, I realized I had gotten to the end, and I got through it, but I was about ready for it to be over at the time, which is kind of funny because even though like a year later, I was still back in the pool because I liked the exercise. And so I think like injuries can be an issue. I think that hope can be an issue. And I actually think that going back to the raw side is if you're known for some of these things, there's a dopamine rush, and we know that when – like in an addiction – you get desensitized to that after a while, and it's interesting that you get bored with that because you're not getting from those places. So I think there's a lot that kind of comes into play, but really the question really is Michelle, tell us about when you're working with a dancer or an athlete or a pilot and that passion runs out. How do you coach them at that point in time? Tell us about like what you've learned.
Well, I think what I've learned is something that we as ADHD coaches do with all of our clients, really, it's working with your client to recognize what they have within them that could help them to succeed at anything. And the worst thing you can do to someone who has a passion is to say, what's your plan B? Now, my daughter pursued dancing, and we would go into doctors because she had toe injuries. And they would say, what's your plan B? And if she could kill them with a single stare, she would have. So you never ask someone with a passion what their plan B is. What you do is you work with them to help them identify that they have it within them to be whatever they want to be, should they choose that. But once they've lost the dream and they haven't had that, because all they've had is a coach who really is interested in the team winning that Saturday, so it doesn't matter if you play on your injury and you have arthritis for the rest of your life. I want you there, or an artistic director who's going to give you roles for your voice that are not suited to you and damaging your voice too early. I guess they have to grieve, and sometimes they need counseling to grieve the life that they had and the loss of that. But and that is something they may need to do. But what's powerful about coaching is you work with them to create a new story and a new possibility, and you set goals towards something else that they can achieve, and you hold that dream for them as they slowly work towards it. you know, reestablishing themselves in a different community and a different life. What is your experience, Jeff?
Well, you know, it's interesting because I 100%, I'm totally on board. Everything you said, I'm just going to add to that one thing. Another strategy that I've had sometimes, it depends, you have to read the person a little bit, is, and I learned this by accident. I grew up and lived in Houston, Texas when I was younger, like 4 and 5. And my father actually worked for IBM at the time. And was the Federal Systems Division that was sold to Loral in 96. But anyway, what it was is did government work. And he actually worked on the Mercury, Gemini, and Apollo missions, 9, 10, 11, 12, to put a man on the moon. And we were living down there. And imagine at 24, a male individual who's going in every day and putting a guy on the moon. And years later, my older son was interviewing at 6 because I wanted him to interview his grandfather so that we had the recording of this so we could kind of pass on. And in that interview, it was fascinating because I had never seen this before. I'm like probably, I don't know, 45 at the time. And I'd never seen my father, but he says, you know, it's interesting because I had hit the pinnacle of my career at 24. I mean, how could you do anything more than put a man on the moon? Mm-hmm. Every day we were doing some stuff. We walked out and we saw this. It was this huge space race. It was, you know, it was phenomenal. And we actually do have some like a spacesuit that was walked on the moon that he got as a part of the team, which is some cool stuff. But he said, you spend your entire life thinking there's this crescendo that you're always going to improve it. How do you top that? It was fascinating because what I learned over the years is there's a certain amount of you pause and you're grateful for what you're able to accomplish and realize many people are envious to what you were able to accomplish. And it's been interesting to me because it doesn't help you go on to the next passion. But I have found in certain situations, and this includes myself, that it brings a level of peace. You had the passion and you went to that point in time and you got to whatever. And for me, while I didn't go to the Olympics, the fact that I was actually ranked in the world and most people would be very envious of that helped me separate myself from that to move on to the next passion, if that makes any sense. And I think some people kind of dwell in the past a little bit. And again, I don't do this. It's really, you know, Michelle, it's about the dance. But I'm trying to read the person, and sometimes I'll, you know, hey, listen, you know, you did a really good job, and you're really kind of known to anchor that, and it's almost like a museum-like kind of like tour, and they're grateful for it, and then we're ready for the next new thing. So I describe that. I'm interested in your comments on that.
Well, you know, there are a couple of things that come to mind, and one is that path that you've had is never lost. It is always there, and it's something that you will always treasure. But you said moving on to the next passion. And, of course, when someone's got ADHD, any transition is challenging. We know that you mentioned earlier, you know, coming home from a passionate job to be at home causes problems because your brain's still at work or your brain's still in the pool and your body's at home with your family and you're not there. So that transition from something to something else major is a major thing for people with ADHD. And I think it's about honoring that past. Very often people feel, well, that's gone. You know, my career's over. I was a footy player. I was a dancer. But you will always be a dancer. There's always that part of you that is a dancer, but there's room within you for something else. So it's always honoring that because sometimes they find it painful to talk about their past because it feels lost. So if you can remind them that it's always with them there and you know, have them make peace with that it's always going to be a part of them, but there's room for more.
I love what you just said. It is they're always a dancer or they're always a pilot or they're always that. It's a part of it's actually something to kind of build on. So I loved how you said that. So, Michelle, we need to go to a break real quick. So let's do that. Everybody, Michelle Toner, she's an ADHD coach in Australia. She knows her stuff. She's in a great time zone over there. We do have fans in Australia, in the Philippines, in different parts of the world. So if you are if you're interested in resources and you're on that side of the world, and because I know time zone's an issue for me and that kind of stuff, check out Michelle. Go to her website. It's Michelle Toner. That's with one L, M-I-C-H-E-L-E-T-O-N-E-R. And with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is TimeTimer.com.
You can't go off to college with them, but we can. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more how an EDGE coach can help your student reach their full potential. You can also call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE and get a free college success guide.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
The Attention Talk Network has over 450 interviews and more than 210 hours of programming, which is overwhelming if you think about it. That's why I've made my list top 10 favorite Attention Talk radio interviews. Download the list at www.digcoaching.com/ATR.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We're here with Michelle Turner having a spectacular conversation about ADHD when the passion kind of runs out. We've had lots of conversation about issues at hand. And, you know, Michelle, when I work with people where that passion's run out in the area, you know, one of the things that I've always kind of looked at is like try to look at what it was they were passionate about and try to think there's this other thing under the, like some they like to be noticed, or it's the physical movement, or it's the adventure, or it's the perspectives that they look at, or it's their insatiable appetite of learning, or maybe the camaraderie, or just the fact that they're among people. And they take a look at those environmental factors as clues. So as we begin to look at other areas they could be passionate about to launch them, I found a lot of success when if we can identify some of those environmental things, it can really kind of help narrow the focus on where they should go. Because if they really, really liked the movement act side of it and the camaraderie, I find that we find other passions typically they latch on that has those kind of characteristics if we can identify that. In your experience, have you ever noticed any of that stuff, or do you have anything else from your perspective that you see that's kind of helpful?
Yes, I think it's certainly helping them to identify another area. And for some people, it's working in an allied industry. So for dancers, sometimes it's moving on to teach. But for other dancers, that's not an option because if they can't be a dancer,
yep.
they don't want to be in the world of dance. So
yep.
very definitely, that is something it's defined. And might I say, Jeff, that some of the people I've worked with have only been diagnosed as a result of their career ending. So that whilst they were an elite athlete, there was no diagnosis. It was, okay, so I'm different, I'm hyperactive, but I'm in the pool, I'm focused, I'm hyper-focused, and I'm doing fine. You know, that's not to say that was true for the whole of their lives, but once that exercise is gone or that sort of that form of self-medication, the diagnosis of ADHD occurs, and then there's a whole new awareness and a whole new world of possibilities opens up to them. So I think you made a very valid point. I also had another thought as I was listening to your commercial about the EDGE Foundation. Sometimes people have a passion. Say, one that jumps out at me is psychology. They decide they want to be a psychologist and they study really hard at school, get to university or college, and find that they don't like the units they're studying. This is not what I thought psychology was about, so I'm giving up and I don't want to be a psychologist
yep.
anymore. So sometimes it's helping someone realize that in any degree on your path towards your passion, there's going to be stuff that isn't pleasant to do or stuff that's disappointing. But if you want to be a psychologist, you're going to have to do these units. You're going to have to learn to do statistics and read lab reports if you want to be a clinical psychologist. So that is another time when passion can be lost if you don't find
yep.
a way to negotiate obstacles along the way. Now, that's an area we haven't spoken about this morning.
And well, yeah, you're very right. That's just an obstacle barrier that kind of comes along to be conscious of and sometimes try to get around. I know that a lot of times there's that thing that you've got to do that kind of get in the way. And sometimes it can be a big obstacle. Sometimes it can be small obstacle. All too often, I think people run into it and they just bounce off of it. And they don't think, how can I get around this in a really creative way? Have you run into that?
Well, yes, a lot. And for I work with a lot of university students and a lot of post-grad university students, so people in the medical field and teachers who have got to do their practicum or have got to do their, practicum in dietetics or nutrition. And they could find it really hard in that environment to meet all the demands of a hospital. And the theory is that they can't be dietitians if they can't, interview someone in 5 minutes and write a mental, health history and then come up with a plan in 10 minutes. And my argument is, well, they certainly can. They could run their own practice as a dietitian. They could work part-time as a teacher. They don't have to take on a full-time teaching load. So I'm always advocating with them that it is fair to make accommodations in practicum situations, because they will find their place, as a nurse, as a community nurse, perhaps not an operating theatre nurse, but you do have to make accommodations in the practicum assessment section, because they won't be working when they're qualified in that area. If that makes sense. It sounded a bit clumsy when I said it.
Well, it's funny because we interviewed Wilma Feldman many years ago talking about jobs and titles and what's really the stuff of the job. And if I remember correctly, we were talking about lawyers, you go through, you learn it. And a lot of times it's a very much a data job. You read research and you write opinions on it. Other times you're out maybe bouncing around a courtroom. But, you can get your law degree and actually use it not to practice law, but it can be in the right business, it can be very material for your success to understand the law, to be able to make business decisions around it, not necessarily practice it, but that law degree is actually necessary in order to do that, or there's certainly to teach it, or there's certainly maybe to write about it. I mean, there's a gazillion different things that you can do with it. And sometimes I know that when I'm coaching people, it's really just say, hey, listen, it's just not that title that you think of. There's so many other things that you can do with it. And sometimes just shifting the way they pay attention to it, they go, oh, that would make a lot of sense. I could do it that way. So that's the epicenter of coaching, is really just trying to help people to look at it from different ways.
Exactly. Get them to tap into their problem solving skills. Sorry, Jeff. Yep. I didn't mean to talk over you.
No, not at all. Just really to get them to use that creativity and not get locked in on something and say there's a bazillion different ways this could happen.
We don't have
much time left. But just in the last minute, any other thoughts that you want to share with regard to this space or things that you've learned?
Well, yes, I guess, the thing, I just want everyone with ADHD or a brain that doesn't fit in the box to know is that it's wonderful to have a passion and we all need a passion. We need a passion to be passionate about our job and passionate. And you and I, Jeff, are both very passionate about our work. Listen to us today, but know that there are many options for you. And the things, so get to know yourself, know your strengths, and know that there are so many passions you could pursue if one doesn't work out. Put on that creative brain, and find a different path and work with someone, work with a coach to find those options for yourself.
All right. So my question to you, Michelle, what's your passion?
Well,
what are your passions?
My passion. I'm very passionate about, making life easier for people with ADHD. And when I say making life easier, I mean I'm very passionate about having the world recognize that accommodating people with ADHD will actually make the world a better place.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
no great discovery ever came out of an average brain. We've got exceptional brains having to survive in a world designed for an average brain and average body. Let's just stretch the rules a little bit, stretch our parameters a little bit, and allow these people to grow and flourish, because the world needs them. So I'm very passionate about that, because I think people with ADHD make the world a better place.
Well, you know, it's funny because my passion is the aha. I never knew it when I was kind of growing up, but we started this show. If you listen to the intro, it's the show that pays attention to attention. And I'm passionate about looking at things in a certain way where people never looked at it before and they kind of get an aha. So, for example, when I got into coaching, it was funny because the pat answer was, well, you should just delegate this and you should just delegate that. And I was like, wait a second. If it was that easy, we'd all be doing that, right? So one day I just observed it, right? And I began to realize is that if you're going to delegate something, in my mind, what I've learned is you either have to organize it to give it to somebody, explain to them what you want them to do, or or in your mind, you have to organize what you want the outcome to be. So it's like, for example, years ago, I was using Quicken and I put a whole bunch of information. I got a bunch of garbage out and I realized what I needed to know is look at the balance sheet or the income statement or the budget and want to know what I look at. And I need to work my way backwards because if I organized what I wanted to come out in my mind, that would define how it was put in. So as a simple aha for years, people just talk about, well, those with ADHD, they should just delegate and go, wait a second. If you stop and think about it, they got to organize. That's the hard part for them. Would you guys quit doing that? Because it's such a pat answer. And I've really enjoyed it over the years where people are like, oh my God, I never thought about that. Like, yeah. When I'm working with somebody and they get that insight, or my other favorite is motivation. You know, I interviewed Dr. Olivardi one time and I got a bunch of ahas from him. He said, number one, you'd be dead if you weren't motivated. And he says, then a second thing that was profound is like, you never did anything that you weren't motivated to do. And everything you've not done, you weren't motivated to do when you had the opportunity to do it. And I was like, I repeat that to people and they argue with me, but when they get it, they go, oh, I guess you're right. And so when people get that realization of that basic observation, I know that's why I do what I do. And that's why I love coaching so much. It's like, wow, I could have had a V8 and thinking outside the box. So it's why I do what I do. That's why we do the radio show. That's why I did the video stuff is if you listen to us, I love those insights. So with that, Michelle, anything else to wrap it up?
Well, I think that's the power of ADHD, a specialist ADHD coach, because you're talking to someone who gets it, who gets that you can't just delegate, who gets that you can't just move on and find another job, someone who gets every part of what you're doing. I will often say to my clients, tomorrow, if you get to work on time, for example, text me because I might be the only person in the world besides you who knows what a celebration that was.
Oh my God, so, it's so much fun.
I love the power of ADHD coaching and I feel very blessed to be a coach and I have been very blessed to be on your show today. Thank you for inviting me, Jeff. I've loved it.
Oh my God, we're going to have to do it again. I'm just blessed. I mean, I love this thing. I mean, I get to interview somebody on the other side of the world who's passionate about this and have such a great time. Michelle, thank you so much for coming on the show.
You're very, very welcome, Jeff. And I look forward to speaking to you again.
Absolutely. Everybody, go check out Michelle's website, michelletoner.com. We hope you've enjoyed this show. If you're on the other side of the globe, go check her out. She's a great coach. Catch us next week for another great edition of Attention Talk Radio. Take care.